The one who loved us and gave his all at Calvary. And I hope that everyone here tonight can say that you love him too. Now let me go over the chart once more so that you get these nine sets of three fixed firmly in your mind. And tonight, before you go to sleep, if you try to visualize them, I think you'll have a mental picture of the chart. You'll note that it's called a chart in the course of time from eternity to eternity. We have to speak of eternity past and eternity future because we are all creatures of time. We're born in time, we live in time, we die in time. And remember, although we had a beginning in time, none of us will ever have an ending in eternity. Now this is something solemn and serious. And if you're sitting in that seat here tonight unsaved, I hope that you will sit up and take notice because this has to do with you. You will never, never have an ending. You are going to spend eternity in one of two places, either here or down here in the lake of fire, as far as we are concerned living in this period at this particular time. And it all depends on what you do with a person that died on the cross of Calvary, our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that he means everything to you, that you trusted him as your Lord and Savior. And if you have not trusted him, you are still lost because of your sins. And I told you this morning, the greatest sin that people commit today is the sin of unbelief. Not to trust Christ as Lord and Savior is the greatest sin you will ever commit, the sin of unbelief. Now we have nine sets of three on the chart. Number one is this verse in three parts. Let's say it together. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. Now when we study the word of God, we're doing this so that we are approved unto God. We want all A's or ones on the report card. We want to get the very best marks possible. And we don't want to be ashamed. We don't want to get E's or F's or 4's. We want to get all A's or 1's. And then rightly dividing the word of truth means to rightly divide it according to its periods of time. If we understand dispensational truth, we'll understand our Bibles much better. And I'll point that out during the course of our lessons. So that's number one, three parts to that verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Then the second set is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the three persons in eternity past. There were the only three persons there. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That does not mean there are three gods. There's one God. But one God composed of three distinct persons. God the Father gave his Son. His Son gave his life on the cross of Calvary. And the Spirit of God makes that truth good to your soul. And our blessed Lord Jesus took into union with his deity. He never ceases to be God, but he took into union with his deity perfect humanity in order to lay his life down on the cross of Calvary as a sacrifice for my sins. In absolute perfection, he laid down his life. He didn't need to do that, but he did it because he loved me. He didn't love my sins, he hated my sins. And he died for my sins that my person might be with him and next to him and like him forever. And I love him for that. And I hope you do too. So we have the three persons of the Godhead in eternity past. Then we have the three stages of the original creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's verse 1 of Genesis 1. Now, God never creates anything imperfect. That was absolute perfection. But in verse 2, it fell into this chaotic condition, which means waste, without form, void. And God never works in the dark. Therefore, we have the 7 days of creation in which Eden and the serpent was involved, as you know, and we'll be looking at some of those things as we go on with our studies. So that's the third thing, the third set of three. Then we have Satan operating in three places. He operates up here in the heavenlies, which means where the clouds are. He's called the prince of the power of the air. That's his domain. But he also operates in the hearts of human beings down here upon earth. And then he takes people down into the death line for the wages of sin's death. That's why people have to die, because they have the poison of sin in their very bloodstream. And one day it will strike the vital spot and carry them down into the death line. Satan operating in 1, 2, 3 places. Then you will note that you have 3 periods of time before the cross. That's 1, 2, and 3. Then we have 3 periods of time after the cross. This is the period that we live in, called the church period. When we talk of the church, we're not talking about a building, stone, and wood. We're talking about sinners saved by grace. And the Lord adds to his church. We just don't join it. He joins us to it when we put our trust in him. The one true church is composed of all sinners saved by grace. I'm asking you solemnly and soberly, are you one of those sinners saved by grace? I hope you are. So that's 1, 2, 3 periods of time after the cross. Then in eternity to come, you have 3 places. You have 3 persons in eternity past. You have 3 places in eternity to come. The new heaven, the new earth, and the lake of fire. Every human being who has ever breathed or ever will breathe will be in one of those 3 places in eternity. No one is ever going to have an ending. This is something solemn. And then you will note that you have 3 sets of judgments in connection with those that will fall upon the people of the earth during the tribulation period. 21 judgments in all will fall upon the people during that period of time. I don't want to live there. I want to go to be with the Lord. And one little girl came up to me after the meeting this morning, and she said, I want to go up too. Well, thank God for the boys and girls that want to go up. Now, we hope that the boys and girls will put their trust in the Lord Jesus. He's the best friend boys and girls ever had. And he's the best friend that any adult ever had. And I hope that you'll trust him. And then we won't have to worry about those judgments that are going to fall upon the earth during that tribulation period. Then you will note that you have 3 prominent colors. The green is speaking of the nations or the Gentiles. Whenever you have nations in your Bible in the plural, it refers to Gentiles. And the red referring to Israel, or as we call them, the Jews. You will note that the red line is cut off here because Israel said, away with him, we will not have him to reign over us, and they gave him the cross instead of the crown. But God isn't through with Israel yet. He is going to pick them up here again after the church is raptured out of this world. God is dealing mainly with Gentiles today. He's taking out from among the Gentiles a people for his name. And we live right at the end of this period of time. The next great thing to take place is the coming of the Lord for his people. He's going to give the shout from the air. And we're going to rise to meet him if we have trusted him as Lord and Savior. So the blue would speak of the period in which we live, because we are destined for heaven, and heaven is colored blue. So you have the three outstanding colors. Now these are the nine steps. Number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, number six, number seven, number eight, and the colors, green for the Gentiles, red for the Jews, and blue for the church, the period in which we live. I'm going to ask some boy or girl tomorrow night to come up and point out the nine sets of three. I hope that you boys and girls will volunteer to do that. Now will you open your Bible, please, to the very first verse in your Bible. Genesis chapter 1, please. Genesis chapter 1, and reading at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, I'm not a student of the original. I have to take a student's word for it. But I know this, that in the original, you have just seven words in the opening verse of your Bible. And I know this, that seven is God's number of perfection or completeness. Therefore, you have stamped on the very first verse of your Bible absolute perfection. Seven words in the original. In our translation, we have ten. And I want to call your attention to the title of God. God is called here as your margin. If you have a Scofield Bible, you'll see the note below, Elohim. Now that immediately suggests to you that God is a Trinity, composed of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Someone said to me, belonging to a false cult, that the word Trinity was not in the Bible. And I had to say, amen, it isn't. But that doesn't mean the Trinity isn't there. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are there. And if you study the epistle to the Ephesians, for an example, you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit on every page. The Trinity is there. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now that was made in absolute perfection. That's what we have up on the chart in the green. That's absolute perfection because God never creates anything imperfect. But something happened in verse 2. Now scientists can have all the time they want. They can have millions and more millions of years in between verse 1 and verse 2. We won't argue that point. They can have all the time they want. No one knows how long the original creation stood. And no one can tell you how long it stood in the chaotic condition. So scientists can have all the millions and more millions of years that they want. Just so they don't come around and say, man is millions and millions and more millions of years old. That's where we will take exception. But when it comes to the original creation and to the chaotic condition that existed in verse 2, they can have all the time they want. Now, how did it become chaotic, which means waste, without form and void? Something happened here in verse 2. It wasn't made that way, it was made this way. What happened? Now, to prove that it was made like this and not like this, you turn in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 45. The 45th chapter of Isaiah. This is a good way to learn our Bibles. If we look up these books, don't be ashamed if you can't find the place, because I was in that predicament many and many a time. Isaiah chapter 45, and reading please at verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it not in vain. That means, it's the same word, he created it not chaotic, not waste, not without form and void. He created it absolutely perfect. But it fell into that chaotic condition. And then it says, he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. So we can prove that the original creation was absolutely perfect, but a great catastrophe took place in the second verse. Now let's see what happened in chapter 14 of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 14. Now I know that this has some reference to the king of Tyre, but it goes above and beyond the king of Tyre, I'm sure. In chapter 14 of Isaiah, look please at verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Now, this is the only time in your Bible you have the title of Lucifer. This was Satan's title before he sinned, and it means son of the morning. You get the meaning of his name following the name here. The only time you have his name as Lucifer. He was one of the highest angelic beings in God's universe. Lucifer, son of the morning. Notice then in verse 13, God says, for thou hast said in thine heart, he didn't talk out loud, he's only talking in his heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now, if you count the I wills, you have five of them. The moment we exert our own will, contrary to the Lord's will, we sin. And Satan sinned here five times over in his heart. He says, I will. I will. He exerted his own will contrary to the will of God, and he sinned. Therefore, God had to cast him out of heaven, and he came to earth. Now, whatever Satan contacts, whether he contacts an earth or nations as we see them in distress today, or whether he contacts the human heart, he makes it like that. That's why before I was saved, I was like this, waste, without form, void, non-productive. I had nothing to give to the Lord. Shame on me. But Satan had contacted my heart through sin. That's why I had to be born again. This is a must. The Lord Jesus says he must. This is a must. For every human being that's going to be in heaven must be born again. And if you're not born again, you stay lost. And it's so important to come to Christ for new birth. Apart from coming to Christ, there is no new birth. And I hope that everyone here will consider his or her ladder in. For remember, you will never, never have an ending. And that's something very solemn and serious. Now Satan says in verse 13, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now here's something for you brethren and sisters to get a hold of, and this ought to be a great encouragement to you. Satan sinned 5 different times. And do you realize, my brother and sister, that in connection with Satan sinning 5 times, he was grasping after something? Do you realize that you are going to get through grace what Satan failed to get through sin? And I want to point that out. Notice what the evil one says, I will ascend into heaven. He wanted our Lord's heaven, and thank God he isn't going to get it. But you, my brother and sister, a sinner saved by grace, you are going to be in the Lord's heaven. What Satan failed to get through sin, you are going to get through grace. That's number one. Number two, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Now the throne always speaks of authority. Satan wanted our Lord's authority, and he sinned trying to get it. You, my brother and sister, are going to get it through grace. Do you realize that he's going to share this reign with you? He is going to share authority with you, all by his marvelous grace. What Satan failed to get, you are going to enjoy. That's the kind of a Lord you belong to. Blessed be his holy name. Number three, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. The devil wanted the worship of the Lord's people. He wanted the Lord's people. And thank God he won't get them. And you and I are going to be numbered among the Lord's people throughout an endless eternity. You remember when our Lord was tempted by the evil one? How the devil tried to get our blessed Lord to succumb to his wiles as he gave him a vision of all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them in a moment of time, because the devil has things only to offer for a moment of time. And the devil says to the Lord, all of these will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Well, thank God our blessed Lord wouldn't do a thing like that. And you and I, my brother and sister, are going to be worshipers of our Lord throughout an endless eternity. He is thy Lord. Worship thou him. Now notice number four. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Some translations put that in the singular, meaning the Shekinah cloud. The Shekinah cloud is the glory cloud. And Satan or Lucifer wanted the glory of our blessed Lord and sinned trying to get it and failed. Thank God. You and I are going to share in his glory. Didn't our Lord say in his high priestly prayer to his Father, the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them. Think of that. The Lord is going to share his glory with you. Not his essential glory. He can't share that with you. But he certainly is going to share the glory of his going to the cross of Calvary as the perfect man. And in the glory now, he's yon lovely man, and he's going to share that glory with you and me. That's the kind of a Lord we belong to. I'm glad I belong to him, and I hope your heart is thrilled too. Now notice number five, I will be like the Most High. He wanted the very character, the very life of our Lord. Well, thank God he failed. But you and I have it. The moment we put our trust in him, our blessed Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, planted within our very being the same kind of life that Christ possesses, eternal life. These are five things, my brother and sister, that you have and will come into eventually in all its fullness that Satan wanted the worst way and tried to get by sinning. And thank God he failed. You're going to have it through grace. That's the kind of a Lord we belong to. That's what happened in verse 2 of Genesis chapter 1. Satan contacted the earth because God had to cast him out of heaven when he sinned by saying five times over, I will. Now will you turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, please, chapter 24. This is the most misunderstood chapter, I believe, in our New Testament. The 24th chapter of Matthew. Now, I want to get into this period of time right away this week, and next week, the Lord willing, I want to bring in more practical truths. But I do want to get into this period of time called the tribulation period. I know that people are interested in what will happen next. Well, the great thing that's going to happen is the coming of the Lord for his people. And if you're not ready for that event, you ought to make sure of it tonight. Because there's nothing in Old Testament prophecy that needs to be fulfilled before the coming of the Lord for his people. The Lord could come any moment. Now, I know we've been preaching this for years, and in Peter's epistle, that was thrown at him. But remember, one day the Lord is coming, and he could come very soon. And if you are not saved, you'll be left behind to go through that tribulation period, and you will not get through it alive. That's why it's so important to come to the Savior before it is forever too late. Now I'd like to have you note verse 7. This is Matthew chapter 24. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. That means in various places. I don't know how many times I've heard over the radio, and by good men, too, men that are what we would call fundamental men. I've heard them use this verse and say, prophecy is being fulfilled before our very eyes. They mean Old Testament prophecy. And they'll use a verse like this to make their point. Now let me tell you this, that this verse is not being fulfilled today. This verse will not be fulfilled until after the church is raptured out of this world. Now I know that we see these things in some measure in the world today. In various parts of the world, we have earthquakes, we have these pestilences, we have famines. I know that. But they will be 10 times worse during the tribulation period. And that's why I don't want to live during that period. I want to go to be with the Lord. Now to prove this, if you have a concordance and you look up the word, for instance, famines in the plural, every time you have famines in the plural, it refers to prophecy being fulfilled. And this verse is going to be fulfilled in the tribulation period. Has nothing to do with the period in which we live. Though we see these things on the horizon today. And that gives us to realize that the tribulation must be very near. we see certain stepping stones leading to that period of time, the tribulation. And then to prove all of this, in verse 8, all these things that happen in verse 7, it says in verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. All these, in the previous verse, are the beginning of sorrows. Now what is Matthew talking about here? Now, I want you to hold your finger here and turn with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 13. How many have Scofield Bibles? Let me see them. All right, turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, or Mark, I should say. This is the same incident, only recorded by Mark. In verse 8 of chapter 13. It says, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, which means various places, and there shall be famines, in the plural again, and troubles, in the plural. These are the beginning of sorrows. Now, if you look in your margin, if you have a Scofield Bible, well, you look in your margin under G, and you will have the word birth pangs. That's the meaning of the word sorrows. All these are the beginning of birth pangs. Birth pangs of who? Birth pangs of that nation of Israel that's going to be born during that period of time. Paul says, all Israel shall be saved. That doesn't mean every individual that's an Israelite. That means from all 12 tribes, God is going to gather a remnant to form the one true believing nation that will trust his Son and will go into that kingdom, the leading nation of the world. The things that you have in Matthew chapter 24 have to do with this period of time when Israel is going to suffer birth pangs. Now I want to turn you to an Old Testament verse just to show you, to quench this thought. If you turn to me to Isaiah chapter 66, will you? Isaiah chapter 66. Now, this may be a little bit deep for the boys and girls, but it's good for the older ones. Isaiah, chapter 66, and notice please in verse 7, before she travailed, and this is Israel, the woman, Israel, before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. In other words, when the Lord Jesus came the first time, that nation didn't have any birth pangs. They weren't concerned about Christ whatsoever. Our blessed Lord came, and the nation of Israel was absolutely unconcerned. There was no exercise, no birth pangs in connection with his first coming. But now notice in verse 8. Who have heard such things? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Now this is when Israel will travail in pain. The nation is going to be born here and suffer birth pangs. That's the nation that God is going to get out of that tribulation period. What he didn't get from Israel here, he is going to get from Israel there. They're going to suffer. They're going to travail in pain. But thank God they're going to become a new nation, a nation that's born, having trusted Christ as Lord and Savior. So the first coming of Christ, Israel is unconcerned. But when he comes again, at that time, Israel will be concerned. And that nation will be born. A remnant will be taken from all 12 tribes, and that's what Paul means when he says, and so all Israel shall be saved. Now if you come back to Matthew chapter 24, and in verse 8 was the verse that we've been looking at. Now look please at verse 9 of chapter 24. Then shall they deliver you up. Now, who are the you? These are Jewish believers, those who have trusted Christ. These are the people that have travailed in pain. These are the people that are concerned and that have trusted the Savior during that period of time, the believing Jews. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations, Gentile nations, for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now we see in a measure some of these things today, in the period in which we live. But these verses are not being fulfilled today. These verses are going to be fulfilled here, and to a much greater degree than what we see in the world today. Now notice in verse 13, that he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. In what? The end of that period of time. Remember, those who go through that tribulation period and come through it alive as believers, they will know what suffering is. They will know what persecution is. These people are made out of the right kind of stuff. They have trusted Christ come what may. And they endure to the end of that period of time. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, well, you've got to endure, you've got to hang on. Well, thank God we don't have to hang on. Our blessed Lord hangs on to us. And I'm thankful for that. And I hope you are too. If it depended upon me hanging on for salvation, I'd be lost day in and day out. But it depends upon my blessed Lord. Thank God he hangs on to me, and he will never, never let me go. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. That's the kind of a Lord we belong to. Never will he push us away. Once he has saved us, once we have trusted him, we are his for time and for all eternity. And salvation does not depend upon me, it depends upon him. And thank God that it does. And I hope that every one of you here tonight, that our believers are resting in what the Lord has said. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. Eternal life. Well, no one can take that away from me. My blessed Lord gave me eternal life, and no one can take eternal life from me. He gave it to me. It's the same kind of life that he possesses. I possess that life, and no one can take that life from me. That's what he says. And I believe my blessed Lord. And I hope you do too. That's the kind of a Lord we belong to. He that shall endure unto the end means the end of that tribulation period, proving that these people were made out of the right kind of stuff. They had tried, or they had trusted the Lord, believed on him, and they were safe and secure, and they'll go through these kind of things with flying colors. And it will cost them a great deal. Now notice in verse 14, when this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and these Gentiles, and then shall the end come. Now this has to do with the gospel of the kingdom. And the gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached during those 7 years throughout the entire world. Tomorrow night, the Lord willing, I'll tell you what the gospel of the kingdom is. I'll show you its characteristics. And I'm sure that a lot of people don't understand properly Matthew chapter 24, which is kingdom truth. Let us pray.